Yes. Let the dulcet tones of the movie theme to Jurassic Park wash over you as Toronto is still celebrating their inaugural foray into the NBA Finals. Good Friday morning, everybody. Or in Toronto, good Friday evening, I would imagine. Or late, late Thursday evening. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. As always, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo, Jason Fitz here. Senior dad is off reliving his college days.
He is. You know, him and mom had the 32nd anniversary that we celebrated yesterday, and so they went back to where it all began. I said, they've got to be the only people on the planet that 32nd wedding anniversary. What are you guys going to do? We're going to go to South Bend, Indiana.
You know, a lot of people go back to college. I get it. So I hope he's enjoying the weekend. So here's the question. Who do you think is enjoying this weekend right now more? Your parents back at college celebrating their 32nd anniversary? Or the entire city of Toronto winning game one of the NBA Finals?
Man, it's a close call seeing the dessert plate my parents went through last night. But that being said, the scene before the game, and we saw images of Doris Burke out in the crowd during the game, it was all electric. And then you get basically a wire-to-wire win with a couple of small Warriors leads built in. Couldn't have gone more according to plan for Toronto.
Well, and I will say this early and often throughout the course of the day, I obviously predicted a sweep. I have plenty. I was wrong about that. I couldn't have been more wrong. But I also, one thing that stood out last night that I thought would happen and we talked about was Toronto, the city, was going to get a lot of shine. And that you felt that. I mean, there was a sort of a palpable moment where you could see Toronto rising in everyone's eyes. And I've made the relationship a few times to what the Preds went through when Nashville went to the Stanley Cup final, and a hockey community that at that point hadn't necessarily embraced Nashville as a hockey town suddenly had their mind changed looking at the street party. I felt like watching even the pregame last night when there's 29 Jurassic Parks all over the city was just sort of, it was such an embracing moment for the city of Toronto. It was sort of that reminder that we've heard over and over. It's not just a city, it's a country that roots for them. I mean, you could feel that energy.
I think that was the biggest part was you realize, and I think Jalen Rose said it on the countdown before the game, there's four teams in California. There's two teams in Los Angeles. There is one team that Canada roots for in this entire thing. And we felt the full might from O Canada on through that. What was it, the trebles or the...
Oh, my. O Canada was just... It's a beautiful anthem anyway, but my God, it was like I had goosebumps, hair standing on my arms. I mean, it was incredibly well done.
Yeah.
You guys are doing a great job. Continue talking. We're having massive technical difficulties. I'm trying to get this stuff. But you guys are doing great.
Thank you.
Keep this conversation going. I'm trying to keep the show intact.
Trey is like our dad right now on the side of the road trying to change the car tire while we're in the back seat talking about God knows what.
So more about Pascal Siakam. Continue.
Daddy, I have to go to the bathroom. Not now.
You kids will go when I say you could go.
Trey just mentioned the name that I think we're going to get to throughout the course of the morning. Pascal Siakam, for anyone that didn't see, 32 points, which is a career playoff high in the game, 14-17 from the field. It was just one of those nights where everything he threw up went. It was gorgeous to watch his effort offensively. I did not see that coming. I thought we knew that he could be a contributor, but to think that he could do what he did last night, I was stunned watching that.
Hold on. We got the soundboard working, baby. Breaking news. Golic and Wingo, where we spare no expense to make sure the technical stuff gets you where you need to go. So, about that game one of the NBA Finals. That was fun, man.
That daggum Pascal Siakam seemed to be the difference in that one. Trey, we were just talking about it from what we had seen from Pascal in the Eastern Conference Finals. Yep. And really, this postseason compared to his regular season, where he's probably a lock for most improved, as Doris Burke told us yesterday. And you saw the offensive might. We'd seen the defense, but the offensive might for him was incredible.
32 points, a career playoff high. And it wasn't just the 32 points. It was was he 14-17 from the floor?
He went 11-11 from the floor during one stretch in the third to the fourth quarter, where I think in that time period, the Warriors as a team made 13 field goals.
Yeah, and one thing that I thought was really interesting, we talked about this a little bit before the finals began, was that the thing that I really thought the Raptors, where they might have had a real advantage over the Warriors, is their length and their ability to defend. And I thought that showed out a little bit last night with Danny Green is 6'10".
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're talking about, you know, Jay Billis's favorite phrase is wingspan on the draft, right? There's a lot of wingspan from these Raptors, which is kind of fun because Raptors are flightless birds. But that's a separate issue entirely. But it did seem like
that was a problem, that's something that Golden State was having difficulty adjusting to.
And the physicality, I think, was the big difference, too. We said with Portland, it was kind of just a bad matchup with Golden State's backcourt because Houston had kind of unlocked the key. You got to beat them up a little bit. And whether it was Kyle Lowry or Fred Van, I keep wanting to call him Fred Van Yeet now.
Fred Van Vliet.
Fred Van Vliet.
Yes, one more time.
This name, Fred Van Vliet.
Happy Friday.
Or Kyle Lowry. Either one of them was out there playing bully ball with Steph Curry, and it's not like Steph didn't still go off, but you could see it kind of disrupt things for Golden State.
You left out one person, too, that I think deserves a lot of praise for toughness, and that was Gasol. Gasol's ability to get up on the pick and roll and then go with Steph several times. Steph looked stunned when he came around the corner thinking he was going to have a look, and Gasol was right there in his pocket saying, nope, not happening here. I was really surprised that he was able to sort of move so nimbly and stay with whoever he had to in the assignment. And not to mention the fact 14 points in the first half for Gasol. I mean, who called any of that?
I completely forgot
you.
Mark Gasol was a defensive player of the year in 2012. I'd completely forgotten about that. So as they're sitting there,
you were doing other things in 2012.
That is a fair point. Most notably losing in the worst stage of my entire life. But I think the incredible part for me is here, because I look at this and I still saw a Golden State team that we saw knocking off a lot of rust.
Correct.
And understandably so. You got a great game from Steph Curry, a so-so game from everybody else, plenty of depth in the bench. But on the other side, the Raptors did all this with Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry going 7-for-23 from the floor.
That's exactly right. Look, Steph Curry had 34, but he was 8-of-18 from the floor. We'll get to what you just said, which I think might be the most important part of what we expected or maybe should have expected out of Game 1. We'll get to that in a second. But first, as we said, the star of the game was Pascal Siakam. Again, 32 points, a team high, a career high for him in the postseason. After the game, he spoke with Art Doersberg.
How does a young man experiencing basically his first playoff run in his first NBA Finals handle the pressure and perform as you did tonight?
Just doing it for my dad, man. Doing it for my dad. Going out there every single night, not worrying about, you know, whatever's going on. You know, just I have a bigger purpose.
Pascal, it's not just Toronto. It feels like you have an entire country behind you. What is it like to feel the love from this group?
It's amazing, man. Best fans in the NBA. You know, just at this moment, you know, we just want to continue to do what we do. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll get it done. So tonight, game one, we did what we're supposed to do. You know, game two.
You can expect a response because you are playing against champions. How do you sustain what you did tonight? What are the keys to that?
I think, you know, we just got to stay solid, man. It's a great team we're playing against. It's going to be tough. We just got to continue to play, be ourselves, and they're going to make adjustments, and we got to be ready for that.
Thank you, Pascal.
Thank you.
I mean, you could just hear the energy around them right after the win. And at what you just said a few moments ago, I think perhaps is the most realistic way to look at Game 1. The Warriors last played in March. Right? I mean, they hadn't played since the Cretaceous period, if we're going with the Jurassic Park and Toronto Raptors theme. And some of that rush showed last night.
It did. And now,
taking nothing away from what the Raptors did.
No, none at all. But it's the reality of the series. Right. And it's why being on the road for Game 1, which this is a different feel for Golden State. Golden State's now 18-2 in Game 1s in the postseason under Steve Kerr, and 4-1 in the finals. This is only their second road game in that stretch.
Correct.
Last year, they played on the road against the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals. But other than that, this is not an area, for all the experience they have at this time of year, this is one area where, all right, this is a little new, and they have a lot of time off, and so this stuff can kind of be expected. Also, when you don't have, and I know this is a conversation we'll have later, a 7-foot-tall ball handler who can score in any situation.
Exactly right. We'll get to what KD may or may not play in this series a little bit later, but back to Siakam. Siakam was in the zone last night. In the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. And you mentioned, Game one on the road. This is their fifth straight final. This is the first final where they don't have home court advantage.
Yep.
And this was the first time, as you said, they'd ever lost game one in the finals because it was the first time it was a road game. So then the question becomes, okay, they lost game one and they may not have Kevin. They're probably not going to have Kevin Durant for game two. They might have him for game three. Do we get the sense in any way, shape, or form that the Warriors are actually panicking at this point? And to me, the answer is absolutely not.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that remained clear, and you heard from Steph Curry and a number of others, like, these are veteran players. on this stage. Forget veteran players in this league. This is their fifth straight finals. Like, they know this front and back. They have been through the worst of it, losing a 3-1 lead to the LeBron James-led Cavs. Right. So I doubt this is going to be the thing that knocks them off their perch in a lot of this.
Let's also remember, guys, that this is that four other times in Steve Kerr's career, they have trailed in a postseason series. Those other four times, they came back and won that series.
Correct.
So, I mean, there's an element of while they are down 1-0, what I don't want to do is make the same mistake personally that I made during the Milwaukee-Toronto Eastern Conference Final. I got so whipped up into what the first two games looked like, I was certain Milwaukee was going to win that series, and then Toronto came back and just kicked their butts, right? So it takes time to evaluate where a series is going to go, especially with the chess matches that the coaches are going to play in adjustments.
By the way, I don't think you were wrong in thinking that. I mean, Milwaukee had won the first two games, and they were an NBA record best bouncing back after a loss. No one expected them to lose four straight after taking the first two games of that
series. By the way, now step right up. Golden State, 22-7 after a loss this season, regular and post, the second best mark in the NBA behind those Bucks.
By the Milwaukee Bucks. So what is the mood after a game one loss in the NBA Finals to the Toronto Raptors? Nick Friedell, our Warriors reporter, says, yeah, they're good.
No panic at all. It was almost stunning for a group that has ridden this emotional roller coaster all year, and you're not sure sometimes what's going to appear after these games. Steph Curry, Draymond, they kind of laughed it off. They know they got outplayed by Toronto. They respect the way the Raptors play, and they know they've got to play better defense. But this group has won so often that there is no panic whatsoever. They are completely confident. Klay Thompson said, we're champions. We're champions for a reason. We're going to bounce back like champions. They are totally confident that in game two, they'll make their adjustments, and they'll get back to the way that we've seen them play over the last few weeks here.
I thought Draymond Green spoke to that after the game as well. You know, basically, we saw a lot of – what did we see a lot from Toronto last night? Easy buckets in transition, right? And that's just hustle, for lack of a better term. And Draymond talked about that after the game, basically saying, look, man, even though he had a triple-double, 10, 10, and 10, he said, I'll take that. I'll own that.
I mean, really, the only time I've ever really played him was last year. I played him the second time we played them this year. I probably played 16 minutes or something like that. I was just coming back from injury. You know, you got to take your hat off to him. Regardless of this game, you still have to take your hat off to him, even before this game, of what he's been able to accomplish this year. You know, he's become a guy. And so, you know, you got to – he put a lot of work in to get there. And I respect that. But like I said, I got to take him out of this series, and that's on me.
He's talking about Pascal Siakam there. Goal.